The epistle for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Romans chapter 8. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that made it subject in hope. Because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the servitude of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain even till now. And not only it, but ourselves also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, for the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 5. At that time, when the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Genesareth, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets and going up into one of the ships that was Simon's. He desired him to draw back a little from the land. And sitting, he taught the multitudes out of the ship. Now when he had ceased to speak, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, we have labored all the night and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And when they have done this, they enclosed a very great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners that were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they were almost sinking. Which when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was wholly astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken, and so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And Jesus saith to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him. Please be seated. The sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, these words of St. Paul give us much to look forward to. And I would say that this Mass in of itself is a reflection upon the trust and the confidence that we should have in Almighty God, even amidst among the sufferings that we have in this life. You can even see where in the epistle St. Paul talks about of how we're waiting for this. We groan within ourselves, waiting for this opportunity to be called sons of God. And that's where also, as I say, this Mass lends itself to a proper confidence and trust in God. We see in the intro to the Mass, this kind of sets the tone for us. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" So that brings us then in trying to examine and see that obviously we have Almighty God as our protection, as our salvation. Therefore, yes, we shouldn't fear anything. So St. Paul in his epistle shows us the necessity of the sufferings that we will have to undergo at times, the difficulties that we will have to struggle with. And then the gospel account is this mark of faith St. Peter will then have in our Lord. At first look, we see that St. Peter didn't really trust our Lord's words when he said to him, "Go out, launch yourself into the deep, and put down your nets." Because for St. Peter, he comments of how, well, they had done that all the night. They caught nothing. But then you see what St. Peter, pretty immediately then after that, he does remark, you know, basically, well, whatever you say, we will do. The result from that is the great catch. And so you see the reward that for St. Peter is given to him because of this confidence, this trust in the words of our Lord, even though him being a fisherman himself, this was his livelihood, this is what he knew. He may have thought at that point, this is not the right time of the day, this is not the right moment, there's so many people around, the fishes won't bite. But yet, he is rewarded for his trust in our Lord's words. But then you can look at also symbolically, what does this mean? Because from that, our Lord tells him after that, he said, I will make you fisher of men, a fisherman of souls, as opposed to then just being a fisherman. So his livelihood changed to a true mission, a mission given to him by God. And so therefore you see then with the apostles, the apostolic zeal that they would then have, strengthened obviously by the coming of the Holy Ghost. But St. Peter's initial reaction is, depart from me because I'm a sinful man. And maybe it is because of his lack of trust, his lack of confidence at first with the words of our Lord that he says that. Or maybe just because of imagining then what our Lord is asking from him. That our Lord is asking for him to become one of his apostles, to become then a follower of him, to be able to go out to preach to all the nations. And maybe he is scared off by that, worried by what responsibility he will have because of that. But that's why our Lord says to him, fear not. And again, we look at the trust and the confidence that we can have in God. And that trust is based off of Almighty God knows all things, can do all things. And that is what we need. Because one, we're all sinners, yes. But we all need to have the confidence and the trust in God. One, to be able to fulfill our duty of state. What is expected out of us, what is asked of us. But then realizing and recognizing that fact, that it is God's work for all, through all of our souls. And so specifically when you look at, yes, St. Peter, the other apostles, the work that they would do is the work of Almighty God. And so how important it is then for, obviously, the priests to recognize that, to realize that, to trust in that, the confidence that they have, because it is Almighty God's work. And that is why our Lord tells them, I will make you fishers of men. You will go out now and go toward souls, helping souls, bringing souls to the faith, to the truth. And that is why it requires from us so much confidence and trust. This month dedicated to the Sacred Heart, and truly for us to recognize that, that it is the work of the Sacred Heart. That's why I mentioned too that it is very fitting that the past few years that the ordinations to the priesthood have been on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. That is why they scheduled it for that. One, to help the priest to recognize that, to realize that, that he is another Christ, that his heart must be like our Lord's heart. But then also in a way for the faithful to see that also, to recognize that fact. And there is the recognition that all of us have, yes, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. We all have our weaknesses and our faults. But just as our Lord told St. Peter, fear not, it is the same then for all of us. To recognize and to realize that the graces, the help that we will have, and not just for the priesthood or the religious say, but then for all of us to deal with the crosses and trials that we have during life. And so that's where when St. Paul shows us the necessity of the sufferings that we have, it is to help us to reach to our end. I mean, all of us will go through our different crosses and trials. You know, whether it is losing loved ones, whether it is illnesses that we have, financial worries and burdens, even just struggles in the spiritual life. I mean, all of us will go through these sufferings, these trials, these difficulties. And so therefore, what is God asking from us? What is he expecting out of us? Our trust and our confidence. and it will be rewarded just as St. Peter was. But the reward is eternity. Eternal bliss that we will have is not necessarily in this world, in this life. I think too often, sometimes that's what we expect. We expect more or less the reward here and now. But we have to look beyond that. We have to look toward where really the reward lies for us. And that is why sometimes God will expect out of us sufferings, difficulties, crosses, and trials. But He will also give us our blessings, our graces that we need. But it requires from us hard work. It requires for us to really work toward that goal. And one, you can make that parallel with our scouts going to help the Franciscans, the hard work that they make through that. But they see a purpose of why to help these brides of Christ that maybe aren't able to do some of the work themselves. And so those long hours, that hard work, back-breaking work, it is for a purpose. And that helps us then to try to put into understanding the work that is also necessary for the salvation of our soul. The work that it requires, maybe back-breaking work, yes. That struggle that we have when temptation comes or difficulties lie before us. How do we handle that? What do we do? Do we fight and move on? Or do we give up? And that's why I say it's important for us then to have this understanding of that. Yes, in life we will be asked sometimes for hard work, struggles, difficulties. Try to help and make that parallel with the spiritual life also. You know, a lot of times when we look at that, we think about Adam and Eve. They had so much, they lost it all. And so then what happened? They were punished. And through that punishment came sorrow, suffering, hard work. And that becomes the lot for us all. Sorrow, suffering, and punishment too. Hard work that we would have to go through. But I think from that, those sufferings that we have will help us then to reach that end. And that is the true understanding for all of us. God has created us to come back to Him. And so yes, the sufferings pale in comparison to the glory that is to come. How many of us will reach that glory? How many of us will reach that end? How many of us will try to go that extra mile for that? Put in that extra work, that back-breaking work. But all we have to do is try to look at the payoff of that. The payoff for us is eternity. Eternity with God. Eternal glory. And so let us try to take this example that we have in today's Mass of St. Peter. Recognition of our own weakness, yes. But then a willingness to the trust in God. Where he was resigned to the fact of, okay, if you say put out the nets, we'll put out the nets. And so that's where something that we have to try to pray for, ask for from God. That confidence, that trust. So as I say, take advantage of this opportunity. We can respond in the same way as St. Peter, depart from me, for I'm a sinful person, sinful man, sinful woman. But again, our Lord could come back to say to us, fear not. Fear not, because my graces are sufficient for you. So as we moan and groan in this life, through the sufferings and the crosses and trials in this valley of tears, let us try to look toward that end of why we are suffering it, why we go through it. Why are we willing to give that extra mile? It is because nothing compares to the glory that is to come. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.